Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Lorenzo, on this week's Thoughtful Thursday, what I want to talk about is an article that I found by the author. His name is Aditya Rao. He's the co-founder of a company called Kappy. They are an organization that does work with remote teams. They help kind of engage remote teams. And this article is 5 common mistakes by remote managers in one-on-one meetings. And I thought this was interesting because, you know, we just came off of a year where probably every one-on-one that that leaders had with their people was remote, or almost all of them were remote. And we're going back into kind of a post-pandemic world where maybe a lot of the one-on-ones going forward will still be remote, depending on what company you work for. And there are absolutely elements of a good one-on-one that you can rely on when you're in person and that you can't rely on when you're remote. And that leads to leaders making mistakes. And so I want to just kind of read off the 5 mistakes, and then I want to talk about them with you, you know, briefly about each one. You know, not setting up recurring meeting slots in advance, rescheduling and canceling, not having an agenda in advance, not making notes and forgetting past feedback, and then discussing status updates. And, you know, some of these resonate more with me than others because they've happened to me. And then some of them resonate more because I look at them and I get triggered because I do some of them with my people when I have one-on-ones with them. Is there any of these mistakes that you have made personally or that you continue to make?
Well, absolutely. I think the thing with the remote one-to-ones is it's, for some of us, it was not something that we really wanted to do, but we needed to do. And anytime with any type of strategy, if you're kind of forced to do it, you're probably not going to do it with the same level of zest and level of interest and passion that you would when you can sit down with somebody and, you know, and have a conversation and talk across the table and you know, pick up on all the social cues and elements that come with talking about people's development and, you know, and their excitement. But I think some of the more the kind of operational aspects of it, for sure. Like, who wants to set up a recurring meeting for, you know, maybe meetings that you don't want to do that way? You know, like, again, like those are things, but it's so important in that space because having the recurring meetings in the virtual world are very similar to having the recurring meetings in the physical world, where if people know when you're going to have leadership meetings or touch bases or planning sessions, they know what days of the week they are, they know how often they're going to happen. It allows you to build, you know, structures and behaviors that kind of bring people to those spaces prepared, ready to discuss, ready to talk. And so I think things like that, you know, we had to learn that we made mistakes on and then realized quickly, oh, we should do this every Friday or every other Friday at this time so that people know what to expect. They know what it's going to be about and they're prepared for the conversation.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The ones that that resonate with me a lot. So reschedules and cancellations. The examples that in the article are just about, you know, like, oh, I'm stuck doing something else, or I, you know, the things, the day changed and I want to reschedule or cancel. I don't really do that, but I have found myself being in a situation where I try to make every minute count of the day when I'm working, when I'm kind of trying to lead a remote team. And so I will put things back to back. I'll have a 9 to 10, and I'll have a 10 to 10:30, and a 10:30 to 11. And all it takes is for that 9 to 10 to go to 10:05, to throw everything off for the entire day. And it took me a while, but I kind of learned the hard way that when I have a one-on-one scheduled for somebody, whatever is right before it, I schedule that to end 15 minutes in advance of that one-on-one because I know that it might go 5 minutes over and I don't want it to go into the one-on-one. And I want to be able to put myself in the right mindset of what a one-on-one is. Being in a strategy meeting with my peers, I'm at a different mindset than I am when I'm in a one-on-one with someone whose development I'm responsible for, whose growth I'm responsible for, giving them feedback, being able to go over. I mean, one of the other examples was, you know, forgetting past feedback and not making notes. Well, that 10 minutes or 5 minutes that I had before that one-on-one, that is used to go over the notes of the previous one that I had with that person so that I'm in the right mindset of it. So I'm not like, you know, kind of trying to frantically read the notes while I'm in the middle of the one-on-one, hoping they don't see my eyes leave the camera to be able to read the notes so that I remember what I should have remembered from the last one-on-one 2 weeks ago or a month ago. And so, yeah, I don't do this anymore, but I used to a lot just back things up and back to back. And that would never set me up. When it works great. You know, it's a well-oiled machine. But often it doesn't work, and you know, your people don't know that you had a hectic day. They just look at it as that, well, something else was a priority over me. and it might be unfair, but it doesn't matter. You know, fair doesn't matter. What matters is what your people perceive of you as a leader. And so, yeah, reschedules and cancellations are things that I definitely don't do anymore, that I used to do a lot. And then, you know, not making notes and forgetting past feedback. Have you ever been at like a restaurant and you're like a group of 10 people and the server is like, oh, like watch me flex here where I remember everybody's order, and you're thinking to yourself, this is worrying me. If it was just me, then maybe, but if you're trying to show that you can remember 10 people's order, yeah, if it works, then great. But as soon as the person that you brought to dinner with you is the off menu guy with all these changes, then you're thinking, great, now my thing's gonna get messed up. And so I wanna ask you, have you ever had egg on your face from a situation where you thought you could remember something, but you couldn't? But before you answer that, I wanna give it up to Word from a sponsor. All right, so come clean, Lorenzo. Have you ever had egg on your face because you thought you could remember to do something? You thought, oh, I don't need to write this down. I don't need to take notes. I'm good. And then you didn't, and you weren't as good as you thought you were, and it bit you?
Yes, a couple times. And actually, one of the ones that I remember the most actually has to do with the podcast.
Oh, really?
It was the year that we launched the guest interviews. And of course, like, you know, we had done many years without doing it.
Sure.
And so we had a lot of interest. We had a lot of people that wanted to be on the guest interviews and the guest series. And people would give us audio for a guest series, and we'd book an interview. And we were communicating at the time with a lot of different people. And I had a reference of notes where it was like, here's everybody that we're talking to, kind of here's where they're at, here's where we have the audio, here's where we have their published episode. And I remember communicating with somebody, just winging it, not looking at my reference notes, not being prepared to have the conversation, and saying, I'm so looking forward to your guest interview because we really enjoyed your guest series and I can't wait for it to publish. And their response was like, actually, it just came out 2 days ago.
Oh.
And I like it, you know, just because we had so much going on, I had done the preparation. I did have the notes. I didn't refer to them. And I had some names crossed in my own brain about where we were at with certain things. And they were cool about it. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I said, obviously we have a lot going on. I said, it's my bad, totally. But you know, thank you. And, and I'll get back with you on the response from the audience. Of course, it was all good responses and everything like that, but that's happened to me. And that's happened to me as well in leadership conversations, especially if you have a lot of people that you talk about and a lot of things they're working on, stuff that they're, you know, involved in. I've had that happen to me where I've had similar conversations with two different people, but it was different details, and I've confused the details because I wasn't referencing the notes that I had taken and sitting down to prep for the dialogue, and then finding out into the dialogue like, oh, wait a minute, I've totally screwed this up, and I've got the wrong thing in my head about what you were working on. Let me reference my notes and make sure that we're clear. So like it absolutely has happened in those rushed moments, in the times when you haven't built into your schedule the time to review and to settle yourself and be prepared for the conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely happened to me a few times. And I can say I like how you handled it. And I will say that I agree that when something like that happens, the best way forward is to own it. Clearly, it's to own it and say, this was my mistake. This is what it was rooted in. And be honest about it. Be honest that it was, you know, you confused two names. You have a lot of notes. You've been talking with 30 people and you confused two names and you apologize. It doesn't mean that this person's not important. It means that it was a kind of a brain fart and you move on for it. I think people they're more judgmental of the cover up than they are of the mistake. And so like a lot of people in that situation would cover it for it and say, you try to find a way to kind of like get yourself out of it without saying, oh, I just messed up. And that's when you lose credibility with a person. You know, you don't lose credibility with them if you own the mistake. You lose credibility when you try to justify it or say, oh, this wasn't a mistake. The last one that I like on here that I think is so important is not setting up an agenda in advance. And I'll add something to that. It's not communicating that agenda with the person that you are having the one-on-one with. You want to make sure that they don't feel blindsided. I've been in one-on-ones where I have an agenda. I've done my due diligence. I've created the agenda, written it down, and I didn't communicate it to the person I was having the one-on-one with. And then all the questions that I had for them, they spent half the one-on-one kind of thinking about the answers to the questions or kind of figuring it out. Some of them they didn't have the answer to at all, and they had to say, well, let me get back to you on that one. think about the power of how productive that conversation would be if I communicated that agenda with them. Hey, these are the questions we're going to go over. And I sent it to them 3 or 4 days in advance. They would come to that meeting completely prepared to be able to answer those questions. We'd have a much more productive dialogue during that conversation. And so, yeah, definitely have an agenda in advance. Definitely communicate that agenda with your people so that you can have a productive meeting. I mean, this whole article is just full of things that you really need to do if you are having remote one-on-ones. Some of them apply to having in-person one-on-ones too, but definitely if you're having remote one-on-ones, you will very quickly lose your credibility and you will lose the engagement of your people if you're making these mistakes.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.